Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 as we are joined by the great Brandon Kyle Scott from Hiram Clark. B. Scott, what's happening, man?
Man, I'm doing good on a football Friday, on a Halloween football Friday. Man, the vibes are immaculate.
Mm-hmm. Not as immaculate as yesterday. I feel bad. Actually, no, I don't feel bad. I feel mad. I'm mad at the rest of our office for having our Halloween party on not Halloween, because today was the day that we were supposed to be coming to America out. You know what I mean? Like, if that was, today was supposed to be the day.
I will say that, so I just had way too much going on to participate. And I don't know if I would have anyway until I saw y'all in the Coming to America.
Dude, we were a hit.
Dude, y'all were a hit. And y'all is specifically in my heart. Mm-hmm. Like, this was a costume choice that was specifically after my heart, whether y'all know it or not. And I would have wanted to have been King Jaffe Jaffer.
Oh,
ruler of Zamunda.
Yeah. We had room for more people in our...
Who's going to clean up all these rose petals?
Who's going to clean up all these flowers? Man. I would have loved to have... You ain't met no Martin Luther King.
Yeah, that's my favorite line.
He quoted that about 5 times yesterday.
Of all the low-key the lines that just make me buckle over, he goes, Martin Luther the King.
For some reason, this is a subtle one, but when Jaffe goes... My son works. He works at McDowell's. My son works. Something about that, man.
McDowell's on Queens Boulevard. I think he works there.
My son works. Hilarious.
The royal blank is clean.
Very good.
What is this, McDowell's?
So let's go around the NFL. You talked about who's going to clean up all these rose petals. That's kind of a little bit of a question for the Dolphins now after a 28-6 loss. We'll come back to the game itself, but we did have some news this morning. As of 45 minutes ago, the Dolphins and general manager Chris Greer have parted ways, mutually parted ways, mind you. Mm-hmm. So he came in today and was like, you know what, guys?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's actually, that's not how he got fired.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. However, with this, you know, with the release that they had, they also make it clear that Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Dolphins, will remain in that role at the very least until the end of the season.
So he gone.
Yeah, he's gone. I was going to say even beyond that, it feels like once the GM goes, it's a fire sale of sorts. Mm-hmm. Or like what would be the justification of the next guy coming in and attaching himself to Mike McDaniel or Tua for that matter? And I understand that that's a little bit more cost prohibitive because he has a contract. But we understand like when this happens, when the GM goes, everything that the GM orchestrated and the whole reason of why he is gone becomes in question.
Yes.
And you got to figure that, you know, all heads have to be rolling at this point.
I mean, I think that that actually leans a little heavier into a question that was asked last night that I was kind of pondering on. Could you make the argument that Tua, which as you're right, they can't, it's prohibitive to get off him until the end of next season.
Right.
But Tua and the way that they built the roster, trying to build it for speed and everything that clearly hurt them, is it, could you make the argument that that failed Mike McDaniel? Because he still shows that he can give you schematic advantage, which is what you're looking for in an offensive guy.
Yeah, it's a little bit uncomfortable because a lot of the questions about Mike McDaniel go a little bit beyond, or I would say far beyond, just the X's and O's and, sure. And schematics of it all, like the football of it all. But like, is this a real leader? Is this somebody that people listen to, that people respect, you know, beyond just his intellect, but like, his actual leadership or his status as said leader, like that,
yeah.
That is in question. And I feel like as a head coach of a football team specifically, and really a leader of anything, you at the very least have to have the respect of both those who employ you and those who you are tasked with leading.
Yeah, he's a homeless man's Wade Phillips. He's not even a poor man's Wade Phillips. He's a homeless man's Wade Phillips. Yeah. Because
I hate this though, because I've said this on the air that I'm rooting for the Stoner head coach to.
No, he's
succeed.
A coordinator. He could be a great coordinator, and
even then we
be.
Saw him. We saw him 1 year as a coordinator with 2021 in San Fran.
Mm-hmm. But you know he will get another job. But he's gone. But
I think he'll be good in another job still.
Yes, you and know. He's one of those guys that will never, maybe never, be a head coach again because. Of what you said, the leadership, the vibe, the aura, all of it is just not there.
And to be clear, though, where it does connect with the football is that if it had worked, right, because there are a lot of reasons to have looked at this whole thing and seen how it could have worked. The fact that it didn't, and whatever his role in that is, and certainly he has one, the fact that it didn't now reflects poorly on all of that. Like, what I'm saying is if it works, now it's cutting edge. Now it's perhaps a new trend. Now people are maybe looking for the next Mike McDaniel. And now, you know, the way that it worked out is a lot different.
And one more thing on this that I think is most important, especially as it might pertain to the Texans. I don't know what the exact number is. I'm sure you know it off the top of your head regarding Tua and next year. But there's already been precedent of just eating those contracts. You know, Kirk Cousins – wasn't Russell Wilson in Denver?
He was, just to change the vibe,
yeah,
right?
Just to change. Yeah. So I'm not saying that it's a done deal that he's going to be there or at least he'd be the starter or whatever, which leads to my bigger point of interim general manager, you're going to get a new head coach. The precedent, although it's unique, might not be is definitely not unprecedented with just eating that contract. Trade season, baby.
Well, that's why I
trade season.
That's why I just simply called it cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what type of appetite they have for doing this thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, a new guy comes in there, if he's got the full belief of Ross and, you know, the people that are signing the checks, then, they could eat the money.
The problem with eating it is that you are in a net negative. It's not even just like you're eating dead cap. You are literally underwater. Like, think on a lease on a car, right? You're underwater there.
Upside down in your upside down in the payment.
100%.
And D&M, by the way,
you also shout out to D&M Auto Leasing. never getting you upside down on those payments.
Nicely
but
done.
What happens there though is your roster is also terribly built. So why would you go and take that money, go get another quarterback for a roster that's not?
All
good?
I'm saying is it's not unprecedented.
But I think that could leave an opportunity for Mike McDaniel to get a little more space. And I know that I'm crafting this narrative. You might think Reggie is going wild. However, I would like you to listen to once more. The Tua Tagovailoa at the mic, as he has given us a lot of these types of moments over the last month or so, if not longer in his career there. This is him talking about one of the things that maybe gave him issue. Remember, this game was played at home at Hard Rock Stadium yesterday.
The 4th-and-1 where Larry Borum was called for the false start, what was your understanding of what happened there as far as to
I would say out? I would say with the Ravens fans, it maybe got a little muffled with my cadence and you know, the crowd noise. So you know, we kind of talked about that on the sideline after and got that corrected.
Oh, wow. Wow. Is he blaming the opposing crowd noise?
Of course.
Too loud. Yes. Too loud in that open air stadium.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
At home.
Was the Raven fans that loud or was the Dolphin fans just booing every chance they could get?
Mm-hmm.
Because every time they pan the camera to the crowd, man, you seen thumbs down. You see booing from Dolphin fans.
Yep. I like that we're trying to justify this as if Tua is not just out here saying nonsense.
I mean, it is this like one of those his truth type of thing? With, you know, when they say speak your truth?
Mm-hmm.
Is this his truth?
Only one truth, B. Scott. Only one ultimate truth.
You know how they be out here doing.
Yeah.
But the Ravens got a 28-6 win over the Dolphins. We talked about the Dolphins side where it felt like a microcosm of the entirety of this Mike McDaniel time period, his tenure. Lamar Jackson, still Lamar Jackson, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. What is rust? What is Russ?
Yeah, what is Russ? That's a great point.
Does it exist? Mm-hmm. Like, not with this guy. I mean, efficient, didn't necessarily have to run the ball, and like four touchdowns, no picks. The defense goes out there and surprisingly does some things. And maybe that's just a product of the Dolphins being a disaster. But yeah, man, no rust at all. And suddenly now the Ravens look like a team that you've got to take seriously, because I'm not saying that they're going to run the table, but with Lamar Jackson, they are a different team, and they have to be taken. They have to be taken seriously or considered a serious team against anybody. Yeah. Well, I take them seriously in any game they play. Mm-hmm. With Lamar Jackson. Absolutely.
Derrick Henry was better.
I meant to mention that. You get a Lamar Jackson mm-hmm. passer game and a quintessential Derrick Henry game.
Yeah.
That's your formula.
Yeah.
How much of this, though, is meeting against the Miami
sure.
Dolphins?
Yeah, no,
it's a little bit. One thing I will say, Miami Dolphins did, like, for the first half of football, we're still throwing the football really well up and down, which I texted you guys this. There's verifiable proof of this where I went, oh, this defense still ain't it yeah. for the Ravens.
But
which
ultimately,
has been an
issue. It was better, ultimately.
Which, again, how yeah. much of that better yeah, no, no, is the Miami that. Dolphins, yeah. no, right?
I'm with you. I mentioned that, but, like, but
I think
also,
that we're still seeing that bad Ravens team that we saw at the early portions of the season. I think we're just back to that square as opposed to the bad and injured team that was in yeah. there in the
but
middle.
But even that Ravens team, albeit with a small sample size, when they were going up against the Texans, they were one of the better offenses in football.
Yeah.
And that didn't had not done much for their record or their results ultimately, but it does put them in any game, kind of mm-hmm. to the point. And I would say, like, their schedule, I think this was – I haven't actually looked at their schedule.
Their division.
But it was pointed out on the broadcast how their schedule is favorable mm-hmm. going forward. So you think with a favorable schedule and an MVP, a legitimate MVP who's playing like one, you got to take the Ravens at least a little bit seriously.
Teams yeah. that still remain on the Ravens schedule, not inherently in order, but teams that are still there. They have the Browns still one time. They have the Bengals two more times. They have the Steelers twice, and the Steelers are the team directly ahead of them.
One game.
One and a half, because they're one game back in the win yeah. column, but they're a game and a half back. They still have the Jets on their schedule as well. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games against teams that we could look at and probably just be like, mm-hmm. right, before we even get to some teams that are maybe, or games rather, that anyone knows, right? Like, the Patriots have been really good. The defense has even been pretty solid, but who knows later on in the season. And then the Vikings, which that's another who knows, especially with where, because that's their game next week with Carson Wentz obviously being done for the season. And is J.J. McCarthy, what does he look like coming in if he's the guy that goes? Like, there's still interesting things that be asked of this Ravens team to possibly get into it, which probably not the best thing for the Texans in some way, although I guess you do have a tiebreaker over them.
I would just say that the thing about it, though, is every team that you mentioned, I'm not going to say every team, but you mentioned some teams there that are capable of doing this,
mm-hmm.
but every single one of them knows going in that they've got to compete with that.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, if you're the opposing offense, yeah, you don't have to go against the other offense, mm-hmm. obviously, but you kind of are
yeah.
because you know that they're capable of doing the things, or some of the things that you've seen them do throughout the season whenever Lamar Jackson has been healthy, and notably last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, so remember, Around the NFL, going right here on Sports Radio 610, and Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, continuing around the NFL. I saw this. This is a little bit of drama happening in New York amongst the Giants. Dexter Lawrence, usually regarded pretty well as an interior defensive lineman in the NFL. There's a little bit of friendly fire happening mm-hmm. up there as Carl Banks, he's a franchise legend there, obviously played with the Giants 9 seasons from 1984 to 1992, and he won 2 Super Bowls with this team. So he's got an opportunity and a platform to talk. He is on, like, that Believe Network for the Giants. This is what he said about Dexter Lawrence on that platform.
Dexter Lawrence, nobody respects you anymore. Nobody. Your opponents do not. The pre-injury Dexter is not there in their heads. They don't respect you. And there's a difference. You're on the field. They're blocking you with a 9-year backup center. You're not making a difference. The old Dexter would. Okay? There are a lot of things that go into your performance. Only you know what that is, whether you're still recovering or not. I'm just telling you now, I'm looking at enough tape to know that your opponents don't respect you. Not like they used to. And here's the thing. When Darius Alexander gets in the game, when Roy Robinson gets in the game and they substitute for you, those guys are making
plays. DJ Davidson.
DJ Davidson. Those guys are making plays against the same guys that are blocking you. I'm going to just say this. Again, I don't know the circumstances. It's time for you to start expecting more of yourself. I don't know if you're injured. I don't know if you've fully recovered. But it's time to start asking more of yourself because they don't respect you.
Man, that is deep. That feels like it cuts deep. I don't want to say because he didn't get personal, but it got like
as close to that line as you could get, I think.
Over the top, I feel like it's fair. Like I feel like he had made his point.
Yeah.
And when you say they don't respect you, and I get what
that's the thing. The one word meant what it changed the whole like if he had not said the respect thing and just did everything else, we'd all be going, yeah.
But I did feel like in his defense slightly, he was trying to paint it in a football context. Like they don't respect you in this way. And right. They don't respect
you. He sounded like a coach, to be honest. As if a coach was talking to a player like, man, look at them. They ain't respecting you. Got to do that. That's what he came across as.
And this is interesting to me because, like, I'm looking over here at ESPN.com. They point out that Lawrence is being double teamed at a league high. Nearly 75%.
Yes.
Now, you know, on pass rush opportunities.
And to be fair, he has only recorded a half sack and had 20 tackles to this point, and he's played 100 games in his career.
Right. And the production hasn't been there, but if true that he's being double teamed at a league high rate, that would perhaps explain it. But there's also some discrepancies on what counts as a double team. We talked to Seth Payne right here in this building, and he'll object to some of the data accumulation on that or how it's done. So, like, this is the eye test versus, and is the player actually really watching film like he says, or is he just going based off of the fact that the guy's not productive? It's a little nuance here, I feel like.
Well, I believe he's watching film, first of all.
Carl Banks.
Carl Banks.
Yeah, sure.
I do believe that. And secondly, you know, no matter which way you fall on this, I think Giants fans are like, believing Carl Banks. He's a legend. I mean, he's an absolute, he's got that the pedigree, you know, he's got the pelts on the wall.
Yeah, I would take the player's word for it too, but it does get inflammatory when you use the word respect.
Well, Dexter Lawrence, this is what his response
was. Yeah,
those are strong words. That's how he feels. F it.
Yeah,
he's delusional. His words are delusional.
Yeah.
So I just found out, like, a legend of your team being pretty harsh on the player, and the player being like, well, bleep him.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He ain't going to win.
Yeah.
Not in the public opinion.
This will be like, and obviously these two guys have a great relationship. This will be like J.J. Watt going after Will Anderson.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, oh, man. Especially Will Anderson, because I don't think I look at that Giants team and go, you know what's really plaguing them? Dexter Lawrence.
They got that Dexter Lawrence guy.
That's what's doing it. I figured it out, boys.
Not exactly.
But yeah, one more thing around the NFL. I didn't want to bring this up again. Travis Hunter. On the IR, dealing with that knee injury. So he's going to be out 4 weeks, which that, you know, depending on what that does to the Jaguars, you're a game back from them in the standings, and you have them in that four-week window, so you will not see Travis Hunter anymore for the remainder of this season as the Houston Texans.
Yeah, hate it for Travis Hunter, love it for the Texans.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we got B. Scott in the building, and you know we got to get his thoughts. So let's get B. Scott's thoughts next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. Is that money in the jar?
No, but
it's been a minute since I false started like that.
You ticked off a bunch of people.
Come on, man. You got to let the music bring you into the vibes.
I do. Yeah. I do. And you would think that I'm not used to it. We did this last week. We on a good run right now.
Yeah,
right.
We're on a streak.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't get two in a row too often, man.
Well, hopefully we can stack them. But right now, let's live in the moment, get B. Scott's thoughts. B. Scott from Hiram Clark, obviously, in with us. In the 11 o'clock hour on a Friday.
I am ready for the Texans to finally perform against a good defense. And I feel like this is the question for them. Like, are they ready to actually put it on tape against a real viable defense? Every time that they face one, they have not done so well.
Mm-hmm.
And when they have done so well, there have been the baked in excuses for why they were able to do so, right? Like, if we look at the most recent game in the San Francisco 49ers, their defense was actually worse than I realized or thought, but also they're injured and they're not quite whole in themselves, right? And then, of course, their other wins came up against a beat-up Ravens team and a Titans team that's not really worth really discussing at this point, right? So I have been the guy that rails against holding their schedule against them or holding wins against them that they get against a let's say, not worthy opponent. I don't feel like that's their problem. It's not their job to make the opponent better. But this is an opportunity. Like, if we just look squarely here and keep in the context of everything that we know without taking anything away from them from winning those games, this is an opportunity to actually put it on tape and to show that you are worth being taken seriously. The way that we've tried to do in these moments, in these sort of touch points that we've had throughout the season so far, about them maybe being good or maybe turning a corner. And then what happens when we think that they turn a corner? They have a bye week, they come out of the bye week, and they look flat, right? So, like, not having those types of letdowns, and I think specifically, like, forget about a letdown. This is just, to me, a brand new opportunity now that you've supposedly figured some things out offensively. Can you do it against a real defense in the Denver Broncos?
Yeah, it's going to end up being, all right, you got anything to say now? You know, because of what you just said. I mean, their defense, the Texans are first. I believe they're sixth. And they're good on rushing defense. They're good in passing
defense. Fifth, I think.
Now, I know Sertan's not going to be there. Maybe fifth. But nevertheless, it's like, y'all got anything now?
Yeah.
You know, prove it game.
I like that you said that, too, because this was sort of my objection throughout the week to what felt like a little bit of a victory lap against the haters. Like, I hated this entire conversation, but what I hated most about it was that it was even being had to begin with, because I didn't think it was like when you go to D'Amico Ryan's and talk about, hey, like, what about Nick Cayley now? Well, man, they had done it for one game.
Yeah.
They did it against the San Francisco 49ers. Like, credit to Nick Cayley, credit to the offense. Let's not take anything away from him. Let's even celebrate him to a certain degree for the wins that they get. But let's not try to take a victory lap and pretend like like you're established or like you're made now because you went out there and beat the San Francisco 49ers at home, a depleted San Francisco 49ers squad at that.
Yeah, for me, the distinction that I try and draw is I want to celebrate victories, but then when it comes to data points that I can use to determine whether this is repeatable, whether I will see this again, I haven't had the data points that tell me that they can do this at a certain level that I can use to say this is repeatable against other types of foes. this would be that type of data point this week, opposed to those good weeks that they've had against, like you mentioned, the Niners, who were a little bit hurt. I think those are where that context comes in. It's great to say that you were able to find a win on that day, but I think that's isolated. And that's the credit that I think I give to Kaylee and this offense and to the team. Now, if I'm saying, what can I find that I can spin forward, that I can use to predict, I haven't seen enough of that yet, and I'm hoping to see that. Because, again, because of the way the season started, we've gotten away from this. The expectations for this team was high starting the year, and it feels like we have lowered the bar incredibly a lot in the way that we handled them.
Well, we have lowered the bar. I would also argue that they have kind of lowered the bar. Certainly. Like, we don't go out there and do it. I think the bar has been lowered because of what we've seen out there. But I would say in the way of being encouraged, or like, what is a data point? I wouldn't call this a data point, but let's just say an anecdotal type of thing to look at in terms of being encouraged. I think the guys on the morning show were pointing this out, of like the chemistry with the rookies, or the fact that the rookies are now more involved. Like, forget the fact that they just simply need them from a number standpoint, or like the number of guys who are actual credible threats for you. But the fact that those guys seem like they're starting to get it, understand the offense, understand where they're supposed to be, the timing stuff with C.J. Stroud looks like it's a lot better. That's a thing that you feel like you can take away that's transferable to any opponent. Obviously, the strength of the opponent does matter, but that's something that is transferable. They're not in the right spot just because the other guys aren't good. They're actually in the right spots. They're actually connecting and things like that. So that's something that I would be encouraged by. What I've seen from the Texans so far.
Let me ask you,
but they still
got
to go out there and do it against the different.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You would ask Reggie yesterday, will they do that? Because, you know, Christian Kirk is back. Will they go more heavily with Jalen Noel? Xavier Hutchinson has been pretty solid. You know, what's that Higgins and Hutchinson thing going to do? I don't know. I'm asking because I wouldn't put it past them to see a lot of Kirk, you know, a lot of, who knows what, you know, beyond that, but a lot of Kirk.
Well, let me say that I feel good about the weapons in general. Like, even with Kirk, I know it'll be an eye roll, kind of like with the Braxton Berrios thing from a few weeks ago, or whenever they did the Monday Night Football game, and they were like, well, what is this Braxton Berrios thing all of a sudden? I don't really mind Braxton Berrios. I don't really mind Christian Kirk. I feel good about their weapons. I feel especially good about the rookies lately, based off of what we just talked about. But I would say even the bigger question for me is, like, I think they will do that. I think these things are transferable. I do feel good about those things that we just talked about. The thing that I feel nervous about is the front. Like, yeah, I think they'll try to do it. I think they'll want to do it. They got serious questions about whether they can block this five-man front.
Yeah.
We talked about Benito. We talked about the fact that, I mean, throughout the week, it's been talked about on this station that, look, the Broncos, they're not the Texans defense, but they are a very
really good.
They're like in that class. Mm-hmm. And it's not just Patrick Surtain who's not going to be playing in this game, but it's that front that does present some challenges, some speed issues for this Texans offensive line, so we'll see how they handle it.
Yeah, I think that all those are very fair. This week feels longer, and maybe it's just because it literally is longer compared to the short week that we had with the Niners, but like once they got that win, I've been chomping at the bit to get to this Sunday, man. Like I have been eagerly awaiting this one because, one, obviously it's the challenge, but two, I think to give them credit, this is probably the most I've been excited or in the most I believe that they've been up for a challenge that awaits them around the bend to this point.
Yeah, and for me too, like the CJ Stroud element of this.
100%.
Like we got to see, I feel like all of us have been talking about how we got to see CJ Stroud and what that looks like when he's upright or when he doesn't feel like he's got so much to worry about or when he is scrambling, he is getting outside of the pocket. It's like more of, it's not frantic. It's just kind of the cost of doing business. Sometimes the pocket's not going to always be clean. You're going to have to improvise sometimes. Like, that's part of the game. We're not saying take that out and just be a perfect offensive line. But the fact that in that game, in this previous game against the 49ers, you saw what C.J. Stroud, how accurate he can be, what it looks like when the timing is right, like we talked about with the wide receivers, when he's upright and he has time, you give him time. And again, it does not have to be perfect, but it cannot be a disaster. Will it be against a much more formidable front?
Right.
That's my question.
Well, we started the show with that conversation. I don't want to say it's a defining game for C.J. Stroud, but it's kind of a redefining game, you know, in terms of like where his place is among quarterbacks.
Yeah. But the thing is, again, the offensive line just has so much to do with that part, or where at least this touch point where we are right now. Like, we've had plenty of reasons to question C.J. Stroud and his development, and is there a regression? Like, we've had those moments. That moment is not right now based off of what we've seen, or at least what we saw most recently, and even what we've seen at different points throughout the season when it has looked okay. Or, to be fair, when they've gone up against non-existent pass rushes, right? When they went up against the Ravens, right? Oh, okay, C.J. Stroud's got all day. He's going to operate, right? They can't rush the passer to say they like.
Yeah.
Well, these guys can't. Mm-hmm. You know, so let's see. Let's see if you are up for that challenge, and it'll have a dramatic effect, I believe, to your point, Lopez, on your quarterback and how he's viewed and talked about after this game.
And you know what? One of the fun things about it, though, is like, I know that I can be the person that people will levy the style points accusations at, because I'm like, I want to see the quality and the way that you win, because again, that's something I can use to maybe project out what future performance looks like. Today, this week, I can sincerely say, Just win, baby. Like, you don't need to prove something to me in the way that they do it. Like, obviously, I would love to see it in a very particular way, but right now, I can very much say that I am as you know, little in that bucket as I normally am. I'm very much in a, can you just manage to get a win this week?
Well, I mean, that is the type of game that this is, right? The defenses are better than the offenses, right? Like, both defenses will fairly be better than the offense that they're going against. Can you win a game that's kind of a muck it up type of game? Yeah.
Yeah, by getting the win, you're kind of getting style points, you know, because of the context of who you're playing.
Yeah. So excited for this one. Those are B. Scott's thoughts here in Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, where there's a lot of things happening in the world of sports, including your opportunities to watch them if you have a particular provider. We'll talk about all that next. All right, there's a real challenge in this segment here because there's a lot of things.
You can do it.
That I want to try and get to. So if I start talking fast, just
hurry up.
Let's Reggie, go.
Breathe. I will try not to talk too fast. We begin. And let's start with the biggest news that's happening in the general NFL world as Chris Greer, general manager of the Dolphins, has been fired after their loss last night. I don't think that the loss itself was the reason, if we're going to be honest, with the Dolphins. However, he's been fired, and now an interim GM has been named. His name is Champ Kelly. He's in the personnel department. But Adam Schefter went as far in one of his tweets talking about this, one of his dispatches, saying that trade candidates include Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb and Matthew Judon for the Dolphins. Those are some really integral pieces that makes you go, fire sale, question mark?
Yeah.
And if fire sale, question mark, Devon Achane, question mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and well, along those lines, why didn't that name come up? Like, why is that name not on the list? Yeah. And that's not to say that the name is not on the list. Mm-hmm. It's just not listed, you know, in that tweet. But, yeah, you got to figure, okay, like, what do they have use for good players at this point? If this is the line in life and their direction.
Flat out.
Give me Achane. I mean, I would have wanted Achane even when he was drafted. Like, he's that type of game changer. You know, one of those where I'd say throw out some of the traditional running back rules that you might have on how you invest in a running back. No, this is a little bit different from what you're normally talking about. I definitely would. I'd be even be interested in a Matthew Judon given, you know, the situation at that position for the Texans. Yeah.
Really? Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, just in terms of depth. Okay. I like it.
I mean, you got some depth, in fact, to the point where I do wonder if you might need to trade some of that depth on. However, I mean, Achane, I mean, he had 67 yards in that game alone, 4.8 yards. Like, and he's pretty young. Like, you talk about investing. Yeah. That's not the guy that we're talking about. Usually, we're talking about the guy on that second contract. Actually, we might be talking about a guy kind of like Joe Mixon, which, interestingly enough, I think that his status and what they know about him will be very telling on whether or not they go for somebody like a Devon Achane. And wait, I'm talking to B. Scott.
Yeah.
B. Scott, you were in the building at NRG Stadium on Sunday, and you happened to see somebody.
Hey, look, for the first time officially, and this has been something we come on here every week and say, hey, where is Joe Mixon? Has anybody
he's
seen
with B. Scott.
Joe Mixon? We think he's alive. We're pretty sure he's alive, but is he in hiding? Is he in witness protection? What exactly is going on? And I can confirm definitively that Joe Mixon has been seen in public. He was at the game on Sunday on the club level. I was leaving our Odyssey suite, going back to, you got to go down to go up. So going down to get back up to the eighth floor to the press box where you guys were at that point. And I ran into Joe Mixon. He was also coming out of the club.
I ran into Dr. Martin Luther King.
Dr. Martin Luther the King. But yeah, I did see one Joe Mixon. And yeah, no, so, and people are asking, did you talk to him? I did have a moment where, like, I decided, because, you know, he's about 8 to 10 people in front of me when we're going down the escalator. And we make eyes, you know, do the head nod thing, and I decide, am I going to go talk to Joe Mixon? I remember when I got barked at for talking to a player who's on the concussion protocol a couple of years back. Mm-hmm. It might have been Jalen Petrie, maybe somebody else. But I was just going to go speak, not to do an interview.
Yeah.
I was just kind of speaking because I knew the guy, whoever it was.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
Just on a human-to-human, how are you doing?
Dap. And I think we did start, there was a conversation initiated, and then somebody came over, hey, you can't talk to the injured player. And that stuck with me, and I'm like, okay, I don't want to get, you know, in trouble here, but I do want to take, like, very specific notes on how Joe Mixon is moving, but how he's interacting with people, how he's walking.
Boot?
Does he have a boot on? No boot.
Okay.
Yeah. No noticeable limp.
Okay.
Okay, and so he looked to be fairly normal other than
to get everybody excited.
Other than the fact that he's Joe Mixon. So he did stand out in the crowd. Yeah. But how he was moving, he looked fairly normal to me.
And it's worth noting, walking around a stadium and running on a football field in the stadium, they are
Is that
leagues,
even worth noting?
They are well.
Hey, people don't give a damn about all that, man. He ain't in no boot. He can get there on the field.
Let's go.
It's worth noting to the extent that me saying that he's walking and that he's not in a boot, given the fact that we don't have much information about the injury itself to begin with, does not tell you much about where he is in terms of his recovery.
Weren't we supposed to get an update like this week?
Why would you say that?
No. Didn't they say in the first week of November?
That was Nick Caserio on these airwaves with Payne and Pendergast, as he's wont to do from time to time, said that, you know, they'd reevaluate sometime in early November. We are on the precipice of early November.
Yeah.
So it feels like in the next week they will do an evaluation. When do they come and talk to us about it? Only God knows.
Yeah. So there's no way to know what his timeline actually is. But I do think it's noteworthy that somebody that had not been in the building, especially given the fact that we've seen injured players be around, like, it's not uncommon. It actually is more common to see injured guys, especially guys who are stars, be around, especially if the belief is that they're not going to be gone for the entire season. If a guy's gone for the season, he goes off and does his own rehab and gets away from the team. But we even see sometimes guys like that will stick around over the course of a season. So again, it's more common for guys to be around. This guy has not been around for whatever reason. We don't know the reasons why, but to me, it's noteworthy that he hadn't been around, and now he is.
Three words or less from the 281. Did he look fat?
Yeah. Oh,
this is the journalism. Oh, wait. I thought you were just laughing because it was funny. You're laughing because you're trying to figure out how to answer the question.
He did not look in game shape.
Okay, thank
I'll
you.
Say that.
That's more than three words, but thank you for that.
But also he ain't. Like, he ain't been playing. Yeah. Like, there is a road to recovery here.
That's one of the things that I want people to remember is even when he is clear, there is going to be a significant ramp up time.
B. Scott, don't go to the press conference, man, with D'Amico speaking.
Hey, B. Scott,
I might call you out.
I did not feel comfortable lying to that texter.
You good?
Once he asked. I had not thought about that, but now that you mention it. No,
all these people with locks writing articles and talking on the radio and all that stuff.
With locks.
Hey, man. Hey, have
them. You're going to get a. Are we good?
You good?
You good?
You good?
I'll say, is Joe Mixon good? Have my man do a couple laps after practice is all I'm saying. You know what I mean?
All right, so there you go.
Oh,
all the people
great.
That have been beating down our
I'm
doors.
I'm so glad the texter said that.
There is B. Scott. All right, some more things to hit in what's popping. One of the things that's popping is if you are a subscriber to Google's YouTube TV, you probably know this by now, but Disney and YouTube TV, they beefing right now. Mm-hmm. And what that means is they're in a carriage dispute. ABC and ESPN are off the air. If you're hoping to see College Game Day tomorrow, best of luck. More importantly, I think that this one, it might get expedited to some degree, possibly, or maybe it doesn't. Monday Night Football, do you know who's playing on Monday Night Football this week? And you don't have to know who both sides are. You just need to know who one of them is.
Off the top of my head,
though. Cowboys.
The Dallas bleeping Cowboys are playing on Monday Night Football. It's the Arizona Cardinals, but the Cowboys are going to add additional pressure here. But yeah, these teams are, or these sides are far apart. Google wants to be kind of, they want the, it's all over carriage fees, the subscriber fees, which I don't have to get in the mud about it, but how much the, you know, the carrier pays to Disney in order to have them per subscriber that they have. YouTube wants it to be a lot closer to like Cox and what they pay. Google wants it to be a lot closer to what some of the other, smaller carriers that have that same type of base pay. And so they're far away. I think it gets a little more interesting also because ESPN just launched their direct-to-consumer app. Like, they're redone.
No kidding.
And so I do wonder how much they will be excited or pushing to do this, because I think that they will push more people to, well, if you miss an ESPN, just come over and do it directly with us.
Correct.
Yeah, it almost feels perfectly orchestrated.
It's dirty.
I mean,
feels dirty.
This is mob stuff, man. Yeah, Mafia came up a lot in sports recently. This is mafia stuff.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It's dirty.
We are seeing in real time the shrewdness, if you will, of sports and the ruthlessness and how it kind of does have some, if not outright mob ties, some mob vibes,
tendencies,
if you will. Mob tendencies. Mob adjacent at best or at worst, depending on how you're looking
because
at it.
Because now, correct me if I'm wrong, Reggie's really good at this type of stuff.
Thanks, man.
Basically, you know, ESPN is saying they're not going to waver really much because they have an option.
I don't know. I can't say definitively that they will.
Well, I mean, but that's kind of what it feels like.
It feels less. It feels like they're more emboldened in their position. Now, of course, that boldness only matters so much as what is the viewership? What are the subscribers going to do? If you, the people, go, hey, ESPN, y'all bugging. We need this bag right now.
Yeah.
Maybe that applies a level of pressure to where Disney is more amenable to YouTube, to Google. Or maybe people go to Google and they're like, I'm canceling my Google or my YouTube TV because I can go for the same price that you're giving me without ABC and ESPN.
That's what
I can
I'm
go
saying.
Get Hulu TV or whatever that has ESPN, and you're just losing all the subscribers.
That's what I'm wondering.
I don't know who ultimately gets
less
more pressure
inclined
here.
To cave. ESPN's less inclined to cave.
I would guess.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, what is ESPN doing? Because I keep seeing the PSAs from Greeny, from Stephen A.
Politics.
Smith.
Politics. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's propaganda. They're putting out the message that they want you to hear to try and gain some leverage.
Yeah, but it also just feels to me like promotion for this app. You know, like I would imagine that the app is already, like before these changes to the app, like I got the ESPN app. I would imagine most sports fans have the, like, you know, people that really follow games on like a day-to-day, week-to-week basis have the ESPN app. I would imagine it is one of the more, like, widely wildly popular apps that there is, and they feel like they can do well. They can hit a lick on, and the Cowboys element too of the Monday Night Football game. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we're going to get that whole America's football, quote unquote, audience to this ESPN app, and to hell with this carrot situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's why these teams or these sides schedule the games the way that they do. And oh, don't forget, you have Texas Vanderbilt on ABC as well today. This weekend.
Yeah, it's the whole weekend.
So yeah, the whole
bro, that's huge.
Yeah. College football is usually where they set these things up because mm-hmm. that's where it gets big. But yeah, it is huge. Speaking of college football, the athletic director of LSU, Scott Woodward.
My goodness,
he has been relieved of his duties.
You don't say.
It was clear once Jeff Landry, the governor of Louisiana, said that he was not going to make the next hire. I will say though, it is worth noting the context that this is in, and I'm in the midst of a couple of really esteemed journalists here in B. Scott and John Lopez. It is worth noting, though.
I'm looking around.
I'm pumping you up. You know, I'm pumping you up. It is worth noting that as much as we say that they're, you know, Scott mm-hmm. Woodward's his history here is two head coaches with huge buyouts that didn't work out. It's also worth noting that he's the four national championships from three head coaches hired there at LSU. And this comes within the context of a number of big time LSU people in that school, president, other people in academics that have left under political kind of heirs of sorts. And Jeff Landry getting up there in grandstanding doesn't help move this away from those. I do wonder how much that impacts it rather than just the numbers of it, which can be capitalized.
You're talking about like how impacted how?
Well, I mean, without, I'm trying not to go into like the deepness of the politics
well,
of
but,
it.
But without being too crass here,
yeah.
those other national championships don't really matter.
That's probably fair to acknowledge.
Don't really matter.
Yeah. But as the AD, that's part of it, though.
It's the most, what have you done for me lately sport that you sure. probably have, right? Because there's a lot more emotion involved with your alma mater or your state school, especially a place like Louisiana that is very, it's a very particular and specific place.
Dude, mm-hmm. I think Slate does a podcast, and I'm forgetting the name immediately, but they have like a podcast series. When they did a podcast series on the governor of Louisiana, when you go through and learn about Louisiana politics, it makes so much more sense the way
yes,
that this works.
Yes. Yeah. And LSU itself right now doesn't have a university president, an athletic director, or a head coach.
Yeah.
And the governor is out here talking about they have no chance of getting to the bowl championship series, which is 12 years ago.
And I miss it too. I miss it too, Jeff Landry. Yeah. Please understand. I miss it too.
Dude, I got a lot of affection for the state of Louisiana. It might as well be another planet sometimes.
No, for sure. And you feel for them because I said this yesterday. You don't want to become a punchline. LSU in Louisiana right now is a punchline.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing, so the six top administrators at LSU that have left their jobs is what's happening mm-hmm. there. So that's the political aspect of it. But you're right. The football program means so much, and I'm not crying for Scott Woodward because you were the one that decided to hitch your wagon to Brian Bleeping Kelly.
Yeah,
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 yeah. Yeah. Good luck.
Right, like I understand he's a good coach, but you knew who he was as a person. Mm-hmm. There's all these stories coming out about his times in various different places and the ways in which he was not the guy that you want to hitch your wagon to. So yeah, those are all there.
This is like the cost of doing business. You know, when you hitch your wagon to Brian Kelly,
yeah. Scott, I feel bad. Because I did not achieve my goal. You wanted to talk about the Rockets defense in here as well.
I hope that by the time we talk again, let's say maybe the defense has improved.
There we go.
Because as much as I'm happy to see that the offense is, you know, the best in all of basketball right now, hey, what happened to the defense, man?
13th in defensive rating. I think I was being a little harsh because I was mentioning a lot of these other metrics that are like bottom third. But the metrics that are bottom third are kind of concerning, especially when you talk about like points in the paint, which is the thing that this team and their length should be able to handle.
Well, the points in the paint, I feel like, is more of an issue with their transition defense. The areas where they haven't been good specifically, just real quickly, are transition defense and defending the three. Now, I think in some cases, with the three-point defense, mm-hmm. they've faced some teams that have just made some tough threes and made a lot of threes. You got to give them credit.
There's some open ones.
But there's some open ones as well. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a little bit mix of both. They're either open or even when they contest, it's like, well, damn, he made it anyway. So mm-hmm. three-point defense has been not great, and transition defense has been, I would say, closer to bad. And that has to fix itself, correct itself.
So all right. There we did get it in.
Just a little bit. That was the radio trick, was I mentioned that I didn't get it in, and we give it a quick 2 minutes.
And then it didn't help that I couldn't help myself.
I will make sure that we make time. Even if we have to get you on the air during the week next week, we'll make time, because obviously this Rocket season early on really matters. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. We tried to pack it in all the way to the wire with B. Scott. Appreciate him always giving us an hour of his time on Fridays. Coming up next, another man that we appreciate giving us time. Nick Cayley spoke to the Assemble Media. I think there was a lot of interesting in his game, in his conversation, including we got a lot of conversations about Blake Fisher, baby. Let's talk about all that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.